Hello, 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 everybody. This is Tiffany Carlson, and you are listening to No Free Rides. Today is March 31st, 2013, and this is episode 96. 96. Holy cow. And this disability podcast is sponsored by EasyStand.com, the makers of some of the best standing frames on the market. Check them out at EasyStand.com. Why, hello, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, dialing in on your browser to this podcast. We've had a lot of really great guests on the show over the years, and today is a pretty awesome show because if you've ever wanted to be a dancer or have wanted to reclaim your ability to dance as a wheelchair user, then this is the show for you. Today, our guest is someone who's a fabulous soul. She's so sweet and oh, I love her so much. Her name is Annette Hormozian, and she is a wheelchair ballroom dancer from San Jose, California. We met online not too long ago, and she's got an amazing story. She's been dancing her whole life, and she was injured in a crazy accident in college, and she just discovered ballroom dancing a couple of years ago, and it's been a huge thing for her. She won last year, first place. She won the American Dance Wheels Foundation's first annual wheelchair dance competition. She won the Power Wheelchair Division. This was last August at Dancing with the Stars, Cheryl Burke's Mountain View Studio. So she got to dance there and she won. So we're going to be joined by Annette coming up, and she's so cool. So stay tuned for her fascinating story. But first, quickly, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to a brand new website that I'm writing for, a really wonderful disability website, and it's owned by Deb Davis, who's a paraplegic and been paralyzed for, I think 30 years or so. And she owns several really great websites. She lives in Florida. She's the founder of Photo Ability, and they're a really great disability stock photo website. And if you have any photos of yourself doing anything from cooking, going on vacation to whatever, and you want to try to make money, you can email your photos to Deb at photoability.com and they will keep them on hand. And if a company wants to use them for whatever, they will sell them the rights and then you get a cut. So it's a really cool way to make money if you have a disability. And she also runs another website that I'm actually writing for, and it's called pushliving.com. And isn't that a cool name, Push Living? It's about, it's more of a Condé Nast type of website for disabled information. So you'll find really great travel, dining, really luxurious type of disability information. And I'm writing a column for them every month called Our Wheelie Favorite Things. I know it's kind of cheesy, but we took it from Oprah's Favorite Things. And so every month we profile our five favorite things. So if you have a moment, just check that out over at pushliving.com and you can see what that whole site's about. I'm really excited to write for them. And I think that it's going to be a really, I don't know, the next fun website to check out for, more luxurious, good disability information that you can't find anywhere else. So check them out at pushliving.com. And so, dancing and ballroom dancing especially is kind of a luxurious, kind of classy kind of thing you might see in a Condé Nast magazine, right? And that's why I'm so excited because I've always wanted to be that girl on the ballroom floor. And I always thought, hey, is it possible? I don't know if it's possible, but wheelchair ballroom dancing has been around for a while. It's been in Europe and now it's finally crossing the sea, crossing the pond, and it's finally becoming big here in the States. And a lot of people feel it's because of Dancing with the Stars and, ballroom dancing is such a hit, on TV that Americans are and who have disabilities are like really wanting to do ballroom dance now. So it's becoming popular. It's so exciting. So, that's why we have Annette joining us today. So stay tuned for just a sec, and we're gonna bring Annette on the show, who can share with us everything you'd ever want to know about ballroom dance. Hello, everybody. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're having a real bona fide wheelchair ballroom dancer joining us, and I've never had one on the podcast yet, so I'm so excited, so thrilled. So without further ado, hello, Annette Hermosian. How are you?
Thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I'm out here in Minneapolis freezing my butt off. You're out in California, right?
Yes, I'm in San Jose, California.
San Jose. Okay, so have you always been a California girl?
Yes, I have.
Oh, lucky man. So you never know what it's like to go through a freezing cold winter, huh?
Actually, I can't complain. Our winters are pretty good. It's
I
pretty
know.
nice.
So you've never experienced a super cold, snowy winter ever?
I have. I've gone to, well, I think in Yosemite.
Oh, yeah?
You've been there, but Sierra is, that's it.
Okay, well, that still sort of counts. This still sort of counts. Well, I'm super glad to have you on the show. Only I, you know, we've been Facebook friends for a while, and I was looking for a guest and thought, I think it would be so great to learn about wheelchair ballroom dancing. I've only watched videos of it on YouTube and read about it and seen, people like yourself post about it. But I don't know anything about the world other than it looks really great. And I know it's been in Europe for a while, but let's start from the beginning. And why don't you just kind of, what's your disability? I don't even know what your disability is.
I have a spinal cord injury. I'm at what they call T12
Oh, you
knee
are?
injury.
Okay.
I just celebrated my 24-year post injury. So,
Wow, that's a long time. I'm going to celebrate my 20th this year. So,
congrats to you.
how did you get injured, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, about in 1980, actually, I just celebrated 24 years of it. March 1st, it was the first day of college,
Yeah.
believe it or not.
Oh.
Just did history exam, and my best friend and I had done our class, and we were heading to her house in Los Gatos, California, and we happened to be going through a sharp curve in the road. And at that time, they had a Ford Tempo, and they didn't have anti-lock brakes, so
Oh my
she
God.
panicked and hit the brakes. We went flying over a cliff,
What?
and she couldn't do the steering wheel, so I ended up flying with my head first out of the windshield. I was
Oh.
conscious through the whole thing, and believe it or not, at that time I was wanting to do surgical nursing. So,
Wow, that is crazy. That's a crazy story. I can't, that's so amazing that you survived going off of a
yeah.
cliff. Like, was it as scary as someone can imagine it might be?
Actually, I didn't feel the fear. I mean, I have a habit of being very logical when trauma happens.
Okay.
And I'm calm and very collected, and then after everything is done, then I do my emotional
And the long emotional healing after a spinal cord. Oh,
Absolutely.
yeah. So, were you always a dancer? Like, were you one of those little girls in dance class? Or how did you come into ballroom dance, after being hurt for all these years? And...
Actually, yes, I've been a dancer most of my life.
Oh,
I've
okay.
actually used to Assyrian. I'm from the Middle East, so I
Oh.
used to do a lot of ballroom, a lot of belly dancing, and a lot of Middle Eastern cultural dancing,
Oh,
Assyrian
cool.
dancing. So most of my life. So,
Oh.
but I come from a very musical and very involved in
Yeah.
the arts
Okay.
family. So I've always been around music and dance all my life.
Like, so as a little girl, they'd put you like in like traditional clothes and you'd learn how to do belly dance and stuff.
Yes.
That is so cool. I just.
A lot of Assyrian or Middle Eastern dancing as well.
Oh.
Folklore clothes and we
Well,
used to, yeah.
it's beautiful. I love that form of dancing. So, I mean, so were you, when you were injured, you were like in your 20s, your early 20s or something like that?
Yeah, I was 19,
Okay.
and when I have accident, I'm going to be celebrating my 45th birthday this year,
Oh my
so.
God, well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's 19 years old, were you dancing pretty, like, were you a belly dancer at like events and stuff before you got injured, or what kind of dancing were you doing before your injury?
Yeah, actually, I was part of a Syrian dancing group. It's called Nisibit, and
Okay.
part of a youth group. So I'm the first generation of the dance that we did in the United States of it. So,
Oh.
and now there's been many more. All the ch kids, all the girls my age now families and their children are now participating and dancing in the same group. But
oh
we
my
just
gosh.
celebrated the 25th anniversary of our dance group. So
Oh my God. And so
very exciting.
that's so exciting. And I love that, you know, you're still, you know, after your injury, how did you kind of approach that dance again? How did you, in your mind, like, did you just want to just go right back into it and think, you know, I'm just going to do this no matter what? Or how are you able to get to be a dancer again? I mean, it's such an emotional struggle.
That was one of the biggest, I think, more than just physically, that was one of the biggest emotional trauma that actually I experienced was, will I ever dance again? And if you just, if you're a dancer, I have this statement. I actually, a mentor of mine told me a long time ago, and I've clinged on to it all these years. It's like, once a dancer, always a dancer. And whether it's you've never danced before or you've been a dancer all your life, when you have a passion for dance, you just crave it and you have to have it in your life. So for me, it was very emotionally traumatic. And I actually didn't just jump on board to dance. I actually withdrew from dancing for a lot of years because I just couldn't grasp how my body was going to be moving, or I only knew, quote, at that time, you know, dancing as an able-bodied person. So it just like, but I wanted it so bad. It didn't take very long for me to just start, you know, becoming familiar with my body movement and just like touching bases with my love for it, dancing. So, and most of my family were dancers. We grew up as, you know, just dancing all the time. So when we get together, my immediate family, we most instruments are played, and
Oh my gosh.
most are in choirs, and most are dancers. So we're a pretty fun group. So
I love
just the
that.
arts has always been in my life.
And were they, that's so beautiful. And were they also very supportive of you wanting to get back into dance as a wheelchair user, or were they like, oh no, that you don't have to try, or?
Oh no, they pulled me on the dance floor.
Oh, they did? Oh my God, I love that.
They figured like, well, you can still do, you know, come on the dance floor, and they would just dance with my sister, my cousins. Right away, it wasn't. I mean, it was kind of awkward. There was times where, like, because of the group of people I was around, actually in my culture, I was pretty much the first person who became disabled that most people knew.
Oh my God.
Assyrians are pretty much scattered all over the world.
Yeah.
The country itself that no longer exists,
I know.
but the culture it does. So, and most of us like are in each other's lives. It was just like, you know, very traumatic. But most of my friends, they just watched me. I had this attitude that my mom and my sister and just my family, you know, just that love that for just the arts
I love it.
that what they instilled in me. It was kind of like, you know what, you just have to come out there and you just got to do it again.
That's
So
amazing. I love
yeah,
that. That's
so
so
that
cool.
kind of support just drew me back. So, but there wasn't anybody that I knew that was dancing in a wheelchair at that time, even. So I just started to listen to music and watch a lot of dance and adapted it myself to
Huh.
what I knew as dance could be. So it wasn't anybody at that time that I knew at all.
Oh my gosh.
So,
Oh my God, that's so exciting. So you first started dancing with your group that you'd always danced with then, right? And then what other, and then how did you get involved into the ballroom dancing aspect? Because, you know, dance has got so many different genres, you know.
yeah, I have always loved ballroom dancing. It's just beautiful. I don't just only love ballroom dancing, but I love dancing in general. I think movement, just the physical movement, I think the human body is just beautiful.
It is, yeah.
So, and I always tell people, some people are discouraged or like, well, we've never danced before. But I started noticing that as I noticed with my friends that are, you know, in the disabled community, that they just sit in corners, and I'm like, this is not good. This is
No.
ridiculous. It shouldn't be this way. So it's kind of like I made it a point to kind of like come out there and became a purpose of, you know what,
I love
yes,
that.
you can move.
Well,
Yes,
how do you get
you
over,
can.
what's your advice to people that get embarrassed? Like, I guess have even problems when I'm at a wedding reception going out there and dancing, because, you know, the average person in a wheelchair is like, oh, I don't want to be stared at. And, you know, how do you get over that?
Actually, for me, I would say an educator most of my life. I've had many, most of my family members are teachers, so that idea of just myself in the world and how comfortable I became within my own skin in the world. That was a very, took me a very long time to find me again, Annette. So when I started to just say, you know what, just changing my attitude as to, well, you know what, people don't, are most of the time fear what they don't know. And most people, honestly, I've had people come up to me, whether it's children or adults, and they want to, they truly, genuinely want to know about disability. And I just take that as an opportunity to, like, it's not an opportunity for me to be rude, but out of respect for, you know what, maybe I'll be the only person who's disabled they'll run into ever. Maybe this is my place right now to just take a moment and have a human conversation about this. So it's kind of like, it just, my point of view of it changed throughout the years. I made a point and a purpose to just come out there and see it as like an opportunity to just have a conversation and about something that people most don't talk about. I mean, in the disabled community, we pretty much talk about everything so bluntly and so openly. So that's not necessarily a conversation. It's a solid conversation that most people have just in plain conversation every day. But we do. So that, I think, as the years of me being becoming disabled and all the years that I've, you know, I've been disabled, somehow I've become comfortable about talking about anything.
A lot. Well, that's good.
Disability with anybody.
That happens to a lot of people. I feel like a little bit myself as well. And well, that's cool. So you have to like look at it, like you're saying, as a way, as an opportunity to go out on that dance floor and to show people, like, hey, let's talk about disability. And you know, you have to really not care what people think anymore, right? And you know, and you can maybe prove that dancing is possible in a wheelchair, and that is actually pretty fun, isn't it?
Dancing is possible. I mean, I've danced with people who have every disability you can think of. And that style of dancing for me, and the reason I actually got into it is because I started saying very bluntly, just in the peer group of just my friends and family, I'm going to try dancing again. And I wasn't at that time, I know that I love ballroom dancing, but I just wanted to see how it was possible to do. And as I had just like told people, actually, Robert Medell is he's a service coordinator who took over after one of my greatest friends, Richard Patterson, passed away recently. He actually kept that in mind, and he had actually spoken to Nina Hung from the VA Hospital Plan for Injury Rehab. They were doing a research project just on dancing and movement and spinal cord injury. She had heard me say this, and he had kept it in mind. So he came back to me, and he said, and she was actually working with Melinda Kremer and from American Dance World Foundation. But the unbeknownst to them, as I was doing on YouTube and Google like everybody else, was like trying to do my research, I had come across Aubrey Marchioni and Nick Scott. And I saw their video, and I started to dance what they were doing. I was watching Nick, and I was I was doing his movements.
You were copying him. That's cool.
Then I just like started to look for Aubrey, and I found her email, and I emailed her. This is like a couple of years back.
So it's pretty recent,
And I just wanted to know about it. And you know what? She became quite a mentor for me. She became quite a good friend, and we never met each other, and we never knew each other. But and she just emailed me, and she encouraged me and gave me so much great feedback about all that date Nick and her had done, and just encouraged me to pursue my, you know, passion for dance. And so anyway, when I was talking to Nina, I was actually at SCI Matters meeting that Valley Medical Center, Santa Clara Valley Medical had, and Nina came up to me, and she was looking actually for her car in the parking lot. She didn't know where she was. And she said, do you happen to know where the rehab lobby parking lot is? And I go, follow me. So as we're going, we're introduced each other. And she goes, and I when I said my name, she goes, I need to talk to you. I go, oh, yeah. She goes, Robert told me you want to do ballroom dancing. I go, yes. So she started telling me about Melinda. Melinda's daughter, who unfortunately passed away from the disability she had. But the reason that Melinda started her foundation was because of her daughter's love her death too. And I right away, as she was telling me this, this her story touched me so much. I wanted to, I'm like, I don't care where she is. I need to meet her. I want to talk to her. So that's how it started. Melinda and her whole, basically dancers and Aubrey, and then they all came down here for 6 to 8 weeks of this last year.
Wow.
And they, we had like 3 different studios.
Wow.
And I was just shocked. I thought, okay, nothing's going to come out of this conversation. Maybe we'll talk on the phone because they're in Philadelphia.
Oh my God. So,
and Aubrey is in New Jersey, so I was like, well, you know, that's far. They're not going to come all the way here. Mina told me, Dr. Mina, she goes, yeah, they're coming down to meet you and just to do dancing with whoever would like to. You have friends that want to learn to dance. So I went on Facebook and I just put it out there and I said to all the dancers, this is happening. And I started to tell the histories of some. As I'm telling you as to how it all happened, and oh my God, it was like the response was overwhelming. We had 3 different studios going for 8 weeks, and they came down there and they stayed here, and we were practicing, and it was just beautiful. It was just there was we had couples that had you know never danced together before. We had a couple that actually was the first time that they never got a chance when they the wife is, she's a woman in a wheelchair, and her husband is not. And it was an activity that they always wanted to do, and they never actually got a chance to dance their first dance at their wedding.
Oh, Jesus.
And they came to the dance studio, and it's like stories like that. And we had actually 2 twin sisters. One is this in a wheelchair. She's the same one, and one is not. And they wanted to, they danced as, together as children, and when one of the sisters became disabled, they never got a chance to dance again. They came to the classroom to be able to dance again together.
Oh, my God.
So it was just like stories like this. It was just like every time we were going to the dance classes, it was just how much it just touched people's lives and the reason why they, we have people who never danced in their life, wanted to, or never thought they had the disabilities most of their life, and they never thought that they could actually ever dance. And they came out because they felt comfortable that, okay, there's going to be other people who are disabled too, so I'll learn. Maybe if it's something I'll try for the first time ever. And believe it or not, they stayed throughout the whole thing, and they never thought they would come in front of the audience. They we had a dance competition, thanks to Cheryl Berg. She allowed us to have it, and she's very involved in our and she allowed us to have a competition, our first competition at her studio in Mountain View. So it was, and everybody participated, everybody that came out didn't even think like they just wanted to try dancing for fun. They all competed.
I love that. So, you know, when you were first, like, wanting to get involved in, you know, wheelchair ballroom dancing in California, was there no studios in your area offering it?
Nothing. There was nothing on here. The only thing when I Googled was I came across with Aubrey and Nick dancing.
Right.
And, also,
and Nick Scott's the wheelchair.
Angel, I heard about, I started looking at her YouTube videos and all the work she's done. And at that time, as part of Soundcore AJ, the reason that I was motivated, not really just for me only, I noticed a lot of women in my, I do women's Soundcore injury in our area.
Okay.
And I actually was trained to do it, and Janie Whiteford, she's the founder of it.
Okay.
She's had it for 20 years, so she actually wanted to retire and move on to other things, so she trained me to do women's group and keep it going for Santa Clara County.
That's
so
awesome.
As I started being able to work with the women in the group, I noticed there's a lot of dancers that are disabled. That motivated me even more to pursue it. She's not just for me. I wanted to, I'm like, there's no reason why these girls can't dance.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, wheelchair ballroom dance has been big in Europe for many years. I am surprised it hasn't been in the United States, really, until now. I mean, you just held your first annual American Dance Wheels competition just last year. I mean, Is it because you think Nick Scott and Audrey Michonne? Nick Scott's a wheelchair bodybuilder, for everybody listening out there who doesn't know. And he paired up, and he's doing some amazing things. I mean, why do you think it's finally happening here?
I think more of us that are in the disabled community, as soon as I noticed that the word got out about American Dance World Foundation coming here, I noticed I was getting emails and texts and phone calls, just people I don't even know.
Really?
By the way, we heard about you. We've seen the videos that you just put on there. We Googled, and I noticed that I guess I'm not the only one who is Googling. Watching the YouTube videos for ballroom dancing, they're like, we saw all your comments and all your journey and all that, and they're like, they were saying, we want to be part of this. Now that you guys, they were following our conversations with each other, just the ones that participated, and it was like over 60 people that participated in that time frame that Melinda and Aubrey were here. So yeah, and everybody, it's just word of mouth and, friends of friends, and it's just like, now we have, like, we're working with a lot of the members that are in different cities. We can't be everywhere, but we're all trying to work to see if we can, in our area, start the program.
Love it.
Continue the work of, all the, we want to have others experience what we've experienced,
Absolutely. And, America, so it's the official name of the foundation for everybody listening out there. It's called American Dance Wheels, right?
Yeah, American Dance Wheels
And
Foundation.
who's the actual founder of it then?
The Melinda Kremer.
Okay. And she's a wheelchair user as well, or no?
She's actually a vocalist. Her daughter, she
Oh,
joined
yeah,
the
you're
foundation when her
okay.
daughter was, I
Love
believe,
it.
she said 12 years old, she became disabled.
Oh, right. And then she passed away.
She wanted her daughter was a dancer also. She wanted her daughter to, which, but believe it or not, the thing is, that night, I had no idea the connection between Aubrey, Melinda, at all. When I went to the dance, the first couple of dance practices that we had, as I was talking to Melinda, I was telling, I was emailing Aubrey, oh, this is Aubrey, this is happening, this is what happened. And she says, believe it or not, Melinda, I know Melinda, her daughter is my best friend.
Oh.
I go, what?
That is
talk about, I was
it's
blown
crazy.
Away.
It's like it's meant to happen. Wow, I mean, and so, oh my God, it's so cool. It was like almost kismet. Like, this is meant to happen. And Bernie danced.
It was meant to happen. And I truly believe that Melinda's daughter, she's the guardian angel that made all this happen.
Oh, I love
her,
that.
I wanted her dream when I heard her story to continue. And there's so many that have the same dream. And there's no reason. It's like you were mentioning it and we were talking about it. There's no reason if somebody wants to that. We're trying to get people out of the corners and actually on the dance floor.
And
just have fun.
And be proud of who you are. I think a lot of it's being proud of yourself, right? And feeling like hold your chin up high and go out there and do whatever, dance you're doing for that, the cha-cha-cha or whatever, and just love yourself, right?
Yeah, one of the first things, I did actually think that I could do ballroom dancing. One of the first things, I call it my own invention, but I did what's called expression dancing. It was more of dancing what you're feeling. And for me, that was an outlet of everything that I was feeling within my, becoming disabled and all the emotions that go and the trauma that goes with it. That was a healing process for me. So dance for me is a healing.
I love it.
So it has this thing to it that it makes you feel whole. And for me, that connection became even more when I kept exploring it. And the thing is, there's no reason why anybody can't dance. Even if you want to just only dance, you don't have to dance because you've been a dancer before.
Yeah.
You just have to dance because it's one thing, something you want to do. Most of my life, I've swimmer, I've played tennis even before my accident, and I've danced. And none of those things I thought I could ever do. Believe it or not, I'm a part of the wheelchair dance tennis team in our area.
Love it.
In women's C division, A and B division. And I've been playing that for 5 years now. I've swam afterwards. So one of the things that was not let I didn't think I could ever dance.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But when all of this connection happened, and with Aubrey and Melinda's help and Mina's help, it was just like, it all came together, believe it or not, within 2-3 weeks of everything. I just conversation with Robert and Mina, it was just,
wow.
It was meant to happen.
I love it.
It was meant to happen.
So when you started going out and practicing and, you know, getting comfortable with wheelchair dance routines, and how did you learn, you know, how did it go for you in the beginning? Was it pretty easy to come naturally to kind of, you know, work your wheelchair, you know, moving your body with your wheelchair? How do you feel connected, you know, to that?
Actually, one of the things that Melinda, and she's had the foundation for a lot of years now, and one of the things she, until I came out and I tried it myself, she had explained was for her daughter to just the social connection also with the style of dance, bum dancing that the way she taught us, Aubrey and Melinda, anybody can dance it. Here's the thing. Like you said on YouTube, I saw wheelchair dancing. I actually saw them like in Asia and in the different parts of the world. But I couldn't, it was only wheelchair dancing. Mm-hmm. The way Melinda teaches the dance, you can go to any ballroom dancing, or club or studio or event. Mm-hmm. You can do ballroom dancing with your own family. Mm-hmm. You don't only just dance with somebody who's disabled. You can dance with somebody who's able-bodied,
awesome.
And it's the same movement.
That is
and
awesome.
And that human connection and the social activity that is in such a fun way, I think I could see the change also throughout the week within the people that were participating. Mm-hmm. It was just something fun for them to each, you know, to get to know each other, to mingle, to connect with other people. Mm-hmm. Some people even told me that, you know what, we didn't feel connected with our family members, and our family members didn't connect with us when we went to a party, or a family event. When it was dancing, we would be sitting and watching, and our family members were dancing.
Right.
Now that connection is, you know, with this style of dancing.
Love it.
We had people dancing no matter they had a disability or not, and they were coming and just saying thank you for this, and they were just like, I was like, it all came together. I didn't do anything. I'm here learning to dance.
I know, and you're good. I mean, what styles do you do? I mean, I know I always forget the types of wheelchair ballroom dances that they teach.
Yeah, the ones that she, there's 8 styles that Melinda teaches. She taught 4 of them for us here. So, but her foundation, you can also, besides dancing, you can go and we learned salsa, learned cha-cha,
fun.
Waltz, and, I forgot the last one, I'm sorry.
Is it hard? Which one's the hardest?
Yes. And, but you can actually, she makes it so easy. You can, like, a lot of the students now have been going to her foundation to just be certified as dance students. We actually have students and interns from physical therapy or anything that had to do with, anything in the school of Assembly State, they were coming and volunteering. Actually, even Mark from Cheryl Burke's dance, her program manager, he came out, he goes, I just need to know how this all works. And he's been a dancer, professional dancer most of his life.
Okay.
And he just wanted to come and experience this style of dance also.
I love it.
And so we have dance instructors from every studio. It's just come from different places and volunteer just to even dance with us and learn to dance.
What's your favorite?
We wanted to take it away and to show it and use movements that they were learning here with their own students.
I love it.
So it was quite a beautiful moment and experience for all of us.
That's
and
so cool.
We're still connected with Showbirds and Dance Studio. And thank God, Mark said, I want this competition here every year.
I love it. Well, you know, sorry to interrupt you. I was just, you know, I'm really, as a former dancer myself, I've always been curious about the mechanics of, you know, the actual moves that you learn, you know, and what are some of the easy things that you teach people? It's relatively easy to learn.
What happens is when the dance instructors, Melinda, she actually assesses what your disability is.
Okay.
And she adapts the ballroom dancing to how you walker, a scooter, or what, using a cane or you're not. So she makes it work for you. She just wants you out there and watching you as a, you know, you connecting with the actual dance and the music. She makes it work. So,
I love it.
And yeah, so there's no disability that she hasn't come across.
Well, you won an award last year, first place with your partner, right? What's his name?
I did, Cecilia Diego. He's wonderful. He's from the Monterey, Santa Cruz area. So every time we have an event, he comes down. He's been a wonderful dancer. He's been a dancer most of his life.
And so
he instructs salsa dancing as well.
And so he's able-bodied, right?
He's able-bodied, yeah.
Okay, and there is wheelchair ballroom dancing too, right? Where both partners are in wheelchairs?
Yes, there is, absolutely. And also, one of we had a couple of people like sponsor or host the studios, and one of them is Access Dance Company, and Judy Smith.
Yep.
She was able to help partner up with Melinda and to be able to make all this happen. So, we're having quite following afterwards, we're having CalCC, California College of Communications and America Learning Center to sponsor me and Cecilia whenever we dance. So we're grateful for the partners, people that are even Silicon Valley Dependent Living Center and Santa Clara Valley Medical Center. They've been very open and very welcoming. And
I love that.
I'm grateful for them. So
what was your winning routine? What style of dance was it?
Tango. There it is.
The tango. Okay.
That helped me. In the competition, you have to perform at least three dance styles, and the dance styles that we did was salsa, tango, and rumba.
And so when you dance, I really love when the women wear those beautiful long sleeves that kind of float when they dance.
Oh, yeah.
So you incorporate like your tuck style movement. Even some of the skirts I've seen sometimes swish a little bit when they spin their chairs, and it kind of looks really pretty. Like, do you like to incorporate any of that into your stuff?
Yes, actually, Melinda, she wanted us to be very creative in our costumes, and we wear the ballroom dance costumes that everybody does. So, but creativity, one of the things about dance is just creativity. And there's so many different pieces to just dancing, learning the dances. Like you said, the costumes and just the character that you build around when you become that character in the dance. And so that dance for me is an expression of emotion. It's a story told in dance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes people use conversation or, verbal too, but in dance, it's unspoken, but it's understood.
That's so cool.
It's a story that we put together as we dance, and everybody else understands the story.
And so you mainly dance in your manual chair or a power chair or both? Or
I actually have only danced in my power chair, we have dancers in manual chairs as well. I have not experienced a dance in a manual chair yet.
So
I look forward to it.
I think you'd be good at it. I mean, you're a paraplegic, right?
Yes. I also have really bad carpal tunnel because I was in a manual chair for 12 years. I'm in a power chair for prevention of my
That's smart. You have to do that long term, outlook and all that. So when you do the wheelchair, you hit the joystick and like you have one arm that's free to like to hook with your partner then, or do you park your chair a lot and then dance in place, or do you drive around more than you sit in one spot and do upper body movement,
You can choose either or. Mm-hmm. It's the preference, and actually what Melinda said is more, and when she was teaching us, is to learn. And a lot of dancers, if you find the partner you have the most connection with, and your movements just flow easily with, and it could be there's times in different dances then where we're holding hands and we do the twirls or the crossovers, or it's there's individuals who are disabled who can't use their hands or anything like that, but there's still a connection with your dance partner who's or anything.
Love that. I think it's so cool that you got involved, you know, in these, what, just only the last 2 years, and it's kind of exploded because your life is now kind of all about ballroom dance, is it? Or I mean, you're teaching it, you're performing, and I love that you're teaching it. And I feel like, don't get me wrong here, is that like where your passion is the teaching? Is that more what your passion is?
I just want to everybody to come out and dance. For me, it's more of just I'm living out my dream that I didn't think I would be able to continue to do.
I love it.
And so thanks to Mozart Aubrey, it's a never-ending dream.
Oh, never-ending dream.
And I think for a lot of people, it's become just that way. A lot of people who feel that way about it. So it's like, as you learn it, and I noticed that a lot of people were partnering, and just that as they're socializing, people were going in their practices that we had, helping each other learn and perfect a certain movement or adapt it to what, you know, it worked for the dancer.
Absolutely.
So it's all about just loving what you're doing in that moment and enjoying that moment and the story you want to tell through dance.
I love that. And, you know, you're also...
That's what it is for me, so...
And you also got involved, and that's really cool, by the way. And another thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, you're involved in this documentary with a local San Jose filmmaker, working on a documentary about wheelchair ballroom dancing, right?
Yes, actually, I'm in the middle of doing that, so I'm very excited about that. And actually, when Aubrey was here, she herself and Robert they have a dance. They have a production, so she actually did the first documentary as we were doing our first getting ready for our first dance competition, or as we were doing the. She flew out here, and I never thought I'd see Aubrey in person.
It's awesome.
Just emailing all these years, and she just surprised me. And even Nick, he came out on the day of the competition just to and they performed for us.
They're good.
Just by one thing to see it on YouTube, but the whole different thing.
Oh my God! What was it like in person? Was it just crazy cool or what?
Oh my God! Crazy cool it is. It was Ooh. Unbelievable. It was like a dream. They are just breathtaking when they dance.
Oh my God.
It is just beautiful. To watch them.
Can they go compete in Europe? Can Americans go over to Europe and compete in those wheelchair ballroom competitions?
I don't see why not. A lot of our members now that it's become like it's just a must thing in their lives. It didn't stop when at that time it just struck a passion to just like I want to continue this for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And that was the attitude that we had. So and we have some that do it because they want to dance with their partners or they want to just dance with other people. But there's some who want to like take it on and they take it on to want to do it professionally. So
I love that. And you know, would you ever go out to like a club and just do like start pulling out your moves?
I do.
Oh my God. So what do people, I used to do that. So what are some of the, how do people usually are really positive about it and they're like, good for you. Right. But it could be a little condescending or how do you usually approach that?
I've actually had people to just come up and dance with me. They bow and they may I.
Oh.
I'm like, absolutely. So it's a teachable moment too.
Yeah, it is.
But you just have to be open to people wanting to come out and wanting to dance with the people. I mean, even in the dance clubs or party, they're curious.
They are curious, and I think people love to see that someone in a wheelchair is not giving a crap and still going out and doing their thing. I think it really tickles people's fancy, and I really hope that the two, you know, when you get really good, like people like yourself, they also go, damn, she's a good dancer, not just good for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it actually encourages. I've had people who just, like, they do go to clubs and stuff, and they are disabled, but for some one reason or another, they're like, as you said, they're shy or they feel like they don't like to be looked at.
Yeah.
I've seen for some reason, now that there's a lot of us out there dancing, especially when Colors in Motion came out.
Yeah.
With Chelsea Hill and Auntie Angel and
I know.
All those girls, they're just like,
there's
more people coming out and it's encouraged to want to come out and dance on the dance floor instead of just watching others dance.
I know. It's so hard for me. I feel like it's even hard for me. I feel like I get embarrassed, and you wish you could maybe still dance like the way you could before, and you have to kind of forget how great it was, dancing on two legs. Like, do you still feel as graceful as you did before?
Absolutely. Being on the dance floor again, it was like, it's like coming home. It was just like, I felt just as wonderful and amazed about my own movements as I did before. And I didn't necessarily, it had nothing to do with, it was just like the wheelchair finally, the connection, I connected, it became part of me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about being in a wheelchair or having a disability. It was just, you're caught up in that moment of down. Your focus and your emotions are all involved together in that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I had the joy that I had before, and I had not felt it in years. So it was great just feeling that coming home again.
Oh, that's so great. I love that feeling. I've had that feeling once, too. I know exactly what you're talking about. So do you get your dresses custom made, or do you just go buy them?
Believe it or not, thank God there's a dress bar. I told dress bar, I was mentioning that. I actually go to the one over here, but most of the costumes, I don't necessarily restrict. If you're doing competition, there's restrictions of wardrobe.
Okay.
But if you're just dancing for, but there's different dance, depends on how you're using it. And even though there's restrictions, but there's also what your story is, what your dance, that mm-hmm. you have to dress according to what the story is that you're telling in your dance.
Right.
So I'm very open to the costumes I choose. So
do you, for your skirt, do you have, how do you make sure it doesn't get in your wheels?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of camouflage strapping or just like we wear the same shoes, like, or it's not, sometimes I actually don't wear shoes. not to do that. So it's not like too restrictive, but the dress not can, yeah, I have straps that I put on that actually they're translucent.
That's awesome.
They can't really see them.
That's beautiful. So you must have gotten those straps custom made then, right?
Yeah, yes, I do. But I mean, you can find them.
Okay. That's awesome.
Places, so.
Oh my God. So did you learn the hard way with that? Like, cause I know whenever I try to wear long skirts or, I mean, they get, next thing you know, you're getting pulled forward and it's just so awful.
Yeah. One of the new skirts that I actually discovered that I really like is they have ones that are like the front is like, higher.
Oh yeah.
The back is low. I just turn it around.
Oh, that's super good. What a good idea. Dude, that's a brilliant tip. I love it. So, do you like the more sparkly dresses the better, the more bling the better?
I do like sparkly.
I
love my sequins.
I love it. Oh my God. I mean, if I became a ballroom dancer, I'd want like the most beautiful purple sparkle outfit ever, I think. That's what I would do.
I would love to see you in that. I think that would be very beautiful. Is that your favorite color?
It is my favorite color. I love purple. I do, I do, I do.
It's so cool. Well, now that you said it, you must get one.
I must get one. And then I'll post it on Facebook so everyone can see. Yeah, and speaking, Minnesota, we don't have wheelchair ballroom dancing up here. It's really, not something you can just go out to a ballroom studio. Or do you think someone in a wheelchair should just show up to a ballroom dance studio and see if they'd be willing to teach them? Like, what would you recommend to people out there that are like, God, I really want to try this?
Actually, at Cheryl Burke's dance studio, the dancers, we've had a few dancers just go, and a lot of their dancers that actually, or their instructors came out and volunteer, and we've had a lot of our students actually go to her studio mm-hmm. and register, and so the dancers instructors have become familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We asked them about it. They said, no, it was just watching how we move. And if the dance instructors, they've been dancing most of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just movement. It's just dance movement. So they just need to see it. When mm-hmm. when they visually see it and they start to move to
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
You can go to any dance studio, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that's the willingness of the instructor to be open to something.
And if they're not, you just go to another studio. I mean, eventually you'll find a willing teacher to work with you. You just got to maybe shop around, right?
Yeah, that's our goal. That's why we're actually just like we're most of us that have started to, you know, came as students, now we're going places, and wherever we're going is, you know, we're attempting to make it more so that it becomes more available to everybody. I mean, for the other aspect of it, for somebody who's disabled, I think it's a really fun way for wellness, for health.
Oh yeah.
Way. You really realize how much of a workout you get. Later on, after you've been having fun for hours, that's all you remember, and then it's like, oh, I'm really sore.
Yeah, dancing's one of the best calorie burners, isn't it? I remember when I was able-bodied, like, if you dance for an hour, you burn like 500 calories or something like
that. You do. It takes a lot of energy to dance. It really does. And so it's just, you know, but you're having so much fun doing it, you don't realize that you've done all that work. So.
Do you like to dance? Do you have a guilty pleasure song? Like, you danced alone, like, to some, like, hip-hop song that you love from your youth?
Oh, gosh. I'm a fan of Prince.
Oh, Prince. Me too. I love him.
Purple Rain is that's one of the songs I've never danced to. But one of the things that I love to do was, as I grew up, I always watched my grandparents dance the wall. They were born and raised in Russia. So, Midnight in Moscow, it was one of the songs that it reminds me of when I danced with my grandfather. And actually, the only time I actually waltzed with him was when I was not disabled. And I actually had it on one Saturday, and one of the practices, Mark from Cheryl Burke's dance studio, he came, and he was just like, I want to know how you move. He was just studying my movement, and he said, let's waltz. So we were like choreographing a whole routine with him. He was just studying my movement, and
oh my gosh,
I did my first waltz in that moment.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
And, to this day, I tell him, Mark, you're the first waltz I've ever done, ever since my grandfather. And he says, we have to put this on video. I go, yes, we do.
I remember trying to learn the waltz when I was in The Sound of Music, when I was able-bodied, and I could not do the waltz, the whole square on the floor. I just could not do it.
Actually, that square is Melinda opens it.
Okay.
It's not a square. But it's the same movement for somebody who doesn't have a disability, but for a wheelchair user, it's the same movement, but it's an open.
Okay. See, this is so cool.
You wouldn't be able to do it, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, okay, so where can people see videos? Do you have, like, a website, or where can people see you dancing? And because we only have a couple minutes left, and so if people out there are listening, I'm sure they would love to see you in action.
Yeah. If you just look up either American Dance World Foundation, you look my name up, or any of, you know, the peers in the spinal cord injury, or just do ballroom dance, wheelchair ballroom dancing, Google it.
Yep.
Most of us have that, even just like videotaped on our phones or video camera or whatever. We made a point to put them on either Facebook or YouTube.
Okay.
So you should be able to see it. Most of the dances I've done, I've put them on my Facebook. So.
Okay.
On YouTube, you can look up Opry and Nick and American Dance. You'll be able to see all of us there, too.
Awesome. So. I know, because I want to see you dancing, because I wish your first place dance last August was available to watch.
It was all over the TVs, all the news channels actually came. They have footages, so we're trying, in the process of hopefully putting the word out there. Let us have access to them.
Oh, my God, I hope they do.
They came out and they videotaped them. And actually, Aubrey, her production company, they videotaped those. So we're hoping to be able to put it on DVD so that it's available for people to have. Just see when she's down or to just watch. It's beautiful.
Oh, my God, I hope
Or even to encourage people to want to come out.
Absolutely. I mean, it would, for all reasons, you should get it from those TV stations. But all right, so AmericanDanceWheels.org, and how about this documentary or movie that you're helping out with? Do you know when it's going to come out and stuff?
I don't have an exact date, but definitely look for my announcement of it. I will definitely make it known.
Well, then when you do, I'll make sure to put it on my website so people can be alerted to what's going on as well.
Thank you so much. But in the works right now, like I said, Aubrey has a production company, and she did the documentary of how we were practicing. Mm-hmm. And so she's in the process of putting that out. So as soon as she releases that information, that would be, I believe, the first one that comes out.
So. All right. I love it. All right. So people out there who are listening, if they live in the middle of nowhere and they want to dance, you gotta believe in you can still do it, right?
You can. And you know what? That has actually happened. I've had people from different parts of the world that just email me or call me on private message me on Facebook and just tell me, you know what, we just saw you guys, and I'm like, who are you? Mm-hmm. But it's like, tell me about yourself. So it's like a human connection somehow. Even just like the people that are doing international dances, how I went and on YouTube and I was able to see them and encourage mm-hmm. me, or to see Aubrey and Nick dance and encourage me. People are watching us.
They've
made those connections and they've responded and they've sent email and say, you know what, we see you and we're starting mm-hmm. to this process in our area. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're hoping for. We want people dancing everywhere.
I hope that happens. I want to dance with you one day.
I can't wait. I would love to
dance. That would be so great. Well, if I ever come to California, you know, I would love to try that out. So, but yeah, thank you again so much for taking time out of your day to hang out with me on our little show here. And, hopefully I'll have you on again. We can maybe talk about, what you've been doing in ballroom dance maybe 6 months from now or something. Okay.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope this, in some way, if anybody's listening, encourage you to just come out and dance. And there's no reason for embarrassment. People are curious and they're friendly. And believe it may even or not to your surprise, people really do want to dance with you.
I love it. Thank you so much. And yeah, you're so right. So everyone out there, listen to what Annette just said, guys. All right. Well, I will talk to you soon. Okay, girl?
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.